Some are saying that the government will shut down if Congress doesn't pass a budget soon. Would that really be so bad? Or would Americans merrily go about their business with very little notice? To our freedom fighters, Fox Business Network anchor, my colleague Cheryl Cassoni, Newsday columnist Ellis Hennigan, and Reason Magazine senior editor Michael Moynihan. Michael, what's so bad about the government shutting down?
Oh, with life as we know it, stop. Nothing. I don't think there's anything wrong with shutting down the government. The problem lies with the Republicans, and the Republicans know that this wouldn't be popular. The precedent that they're looking at is 1995, and we know that Newt Gingrich came out of 1995 looking like the bad guy. They don't want to repeat it, so I don't think they're actually going
to
do it.
I'm going to make Ellis wait because he's ready to explode on this. What would Wall Street do? What would the financial community do
if we woke up
and the feds were shut down for a week?
Oh, Judge, this would be another hit for Wall Street, and we don't need another hit right now. It would slow down the economy, people out of work. It would just take away from the productivity that we need to have in this country right now. We need businesses going. The government fuels businesses in this country. You take that off the table, you've got another big problem for the economy. It's
do
not good.
Do the Republicans have the courage and fortitude of their convictions to stop the government or to cut, as they claimed they would during the campaign, Ellis?
I love the way you bait them, Judge. Come on, don't be chicken. Just go shut down the government. See how that plays politically. Worked out real well last time, didn't it? The answer
is no.
The answer is no.
It was a political disaster.
They will not for politics. They will not.
They will not. And what would happen if they do?
I'd be very happy because it would allow me to get dine out on it for about 6 months of saying I told you so.
Forget politics, though. It doesn't make financial sense to shut down the government. I mean, this sounds all great in theory. It sounds good on the campaign trail. But at the end of the day,
did anything that made financial sense. I mean, that's
overarching. I think this is the year they're actually going to get that the numbers matter. They're finally going to get that you run the government as a business.
Is it because, I'm talking about the financial community now, is it because, as Gasparino says, the government is bought and paid for, that they're in bed with the financial community, that they couldn't tolerate shutting it down? I mean, the stock markets would be open, the banks would be open,
and all the regulators
would be closed.
I love our colleague Charlie Gasparino. I disagree with him. This is about the economy, small businesses, cities, towns that depend on the government, Air Force. I mean, everything. I mean, everything that's tied to the government,
okay,
all the spending the government
does. Let's just be practical for a minute. Does it matter if they pass a full year's budget as the president wants, as the Secretary of Defense wants, or can these continuing resolutions, which last for two or three or 4 months, which give them more time to get into the weeds of the legislation, can those things work?
They can work, and in past years they have worked. Here's the good thing about them is that they allow us to have this fight and this debate about what our priorities are every two or three months instead of only once a year. It's not the worst thing in the world.
All right, but we should be having these debates,
absolutely, and we ought to call the people hypocrites who say they want to cut and they will never quite ever come up with a list of things they want to cut.
Yes, they are. But I would say the big difference now between 1995 and today is that the Republicans were elected with a mandate, and that mandate was to cut government spending and get ourselves out of debt and out of a recession. So they have to do something.
Cheryl, do you think that the Republicans have the courage of their convictions to cut entitlements? I mean, do you think that the Republican leadership in the House will say, we're going to raise the age of Social Security, we're going to reduce the money we send to the states on Medicare, we're going to relieve the states of certain obligations on Medicare, because that's what we promised to do, and that's how we got elected.
Attack the golden goose that is Social Security and Medicare? Never. No, they do not have the guts. Unfortunately, they need to deal with this entitlement program. It's a lot of rhetoric. When it comes down to it, the older population votes, and they are not going to want to see what affects them get cut and nothing gets done.
What about people like, say, Professor Walter Williams and Thomas Sowell and your humble host tonight, who have argued for years that Social Security is unconstitutional, that whenever the government takes money from A and gives it to B, I'm not talking about running the post office or the Defense Department or the court system, I'm talking about transfer payments, that the Constitution doesn't authorize it. Does anybody in the Congress besides Ron and Rand Paul have the courage to say that and to vote on it?
No, and your argument is beautifully consistent. I admire you making it, and has absolutely no political chance in hell, Judge.
Has no chance whatsoever. Should I be making these arguments? Should reason be making the arguments?
Of course.
Should those of us who believe in limited government be making this argument?
Yeah.
Or, Michael, before you answer, is the entitlement in our society, which is now 57% of every dollar the government spends, so a part of us that it will never go away?
Yeah. Two questions, two answers. First one, making these arguments is good because we pull the center towards us. We're not going to change this overnight. It's not going to happen. Nobody, as you said, Rand and Ron Paul, are the only people that would ever make this argument within the Congress. Second thing, the problem is that entitlements are incredibly popular. A recent YouGov poll, people were told in the question exactly what this means. If you continue spending, debt explodes. They still want more health care spending and more entitlements.
This can't continue, Judge, from a financial perspective. Every dollar our government takes in, they spend $1.66. If I ran my budget that way, I would be in bankruptcy. We're heading that way.
It's even worse than that, Hank. The government borrows money to pay interest on loans that are already borrowed and spent.
True. But there's one kind of entitlement that these parties are willing to cut.
What?
The ones that help the voters of the other party. So Republicans say, cut those food stamps. And Dems say, we've got some stuff you can cut, too.
I'm not a Republican. You know that.
I know that.
I'm a constitutionalist. Right. I think so many of these things that are unconstitutional really must go. But do you ever see a way of them going? Is that 57% going to go to 87%?
Well, I'm an optimist by nature. And maybe in the end we can find some deal where each side gives up some of what it cares about.
Michael, Jefferson and Hamilton, you know this history as well as anybody, hated each other. But they did agree on one thing. And that is when the public treasury becomes a public trough, and the people recognize that, they will send to Washington only those who will promise to give them as big a piece of the pie as possible.
Sure.
Have we reached that point, Michael?
Yes. Unfortunately, the public isn't aware that this is bankrupting because they want to spend more and more, and this is the problem for the Republicans. And to remember something about Medicare, for instance, Ronald Reagan's, and when Tea Party say we're Reaganite, Ronald Reagan's famously said to Jimmy Carter, there you go again. What he was saying was he was saying that Jimmy Carter was lying that he didn't support Medicare. Ronald Reagan was arguing in the 1980 election that, hey, no, I support Medicare because they are beholden to
Jimmy
that.
Jimmy Carter was actually right when he said Ronald Reagan didn't support Medicare.
Well, that's absolutely
Reagan
true.
Didn't want the voters to know that, but he thought it was socialism.
Can I bring up a point, gentlemen? You mentioned Medicare. Let me bring up something. What about the fraud in the Medicare system? Why don't both parties deal with that instead of trying to cut Medicare?
Would that really save us that much money, Ellis?
It would save billions.
Isn't it the whole idea that the federal government owes people a living? Isn't that the problem?
These are all people who worked hard, Judge. You want them not to have a doctor?
I am not talking about people on the system today. Okay. They have paid in and they have planned their
lives. So let's sell out the kids. That's what we
Well, let's say to the kids, you don't have to participate. You keep your money and invest it however you want. We're not in the business of taking care of you when you're 65. What's wrong with that?
At least it's a consistent argument. I admire that.
Michael, will that wash?
No. Unfortunately, no.
Cassoni, does Wall Street care about transfer payments? Does Wall Street want there to be Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security?
Wall Street cares about the companies that participate in Medicare, in Medicaid. So in that regard, yes, they do. And if you're going to have more regulation, you're going to have more clamping down on health care costs, which I think is a good thing for the American people, Wall Street is going to care about that, yes.
All right, what's the solution, Henneken?
You got to have
even from the point of view of a liberal Democrat and a brilliant columnist.
Yeah,
what's the solution?
Yeah, but I can count votes. I mean, the only way it works is if you have people on both sides, each of whom give up a little bit. Maybe there's a deal in the middle. It's the only way that anything will happen.
Michael, are those of us who love the Constitution just living in a fanciful world?
Why do you make me say yes? Because I think we are. I mean, the solution is more classical liberalism, and it doesn't seem like we're going to get it.
Henneken, Moynihan, Cassoni. Sounds like a political ticket in New York City. Thank you for joining us.